You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, and I'm joined this morning by Jerry Hamilton and Bobby Burton, both outside, not too far from the stadium, it looks like, guys, right behind you. but spring ball resumes today, day two of spring practice. What are we thinking?
Well, I got some bad news. First of all, let's start with the bad news. I hate to do that early in the morning. But because of the inclement weather, it's raining a little bit in Austin and did overnight. And so it makes grass practice feels a little slippery. They're going to move practice inside the bubble. When they do that, the bubble is typically off limits to media for practice. And so we're not going to be able to cover. There's not going to be a media window today for practice. So that's a little upsetting. Me and Jerry, we'd gone to Kirby Lane, and we got the text around 7:30 this morning from the UTS Sports Information Department that we're not going to be able to do that. However, we are going to be doing a lot of other stuff, talking a little bit about yesterday's pro day. Jerry and I were both out there. CJ Vogel out there with us as well. Blake, I got to tell you, slept on it overnight. I wrote it yesterday and talked about it. Quinn Ewers, tremendous at pro day yesterday. Felt like, you know, I was talking about this, Jerry. He was throwing to five different NFL receivers.
Yeah.
At different times. I mean, whether it was Keelan Robinson, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Jordan Whittington, JT Sanders, all those guys at some level going to be NFL guys. I don't know, if they're going to be five-year pros or one-year pro taxi squad. But my point is, not overmatched in the least. I mean, just looked terrific. He could have come out there and thrown a bunch of ducks. But he looked calm, cool, collected, took it in stride.
You have a good day when a couple NFL scouts are talking and you walk by and you hear him say he threw one bad ball, because he probably threw 75 or 80 passes yesterday. And it's on air, but still, I mean, that's a pressure-packed situation for Quinn, because he knew there were 100 scouts watching him throw and three head coaches, one of which talked to him afterwards. It's a big day for Quinn. And you know what that day does for me, Bobby, after thinking about it? It continues to build confidence more than anything.
It should.
I mean, that continues to build your confidence more than anything yesterday. Obviously, Blake, we had a lot to talk about. Texas basketball tonight.
Yes.
Round of 64 NCAA tournament against Colorado State. After Virginia laid not one egg, but about 75 eggs in their play-in game. Tuesday night, Texas, Colorado State at 5:50 p.m. today, Central Time. Huge game for Rodney Terry, Texas basketball. If they can win this 7-10 game tonight against a Colorado State team that has a really good point guard, Stevens, who played at Allen High School in a state championship team. They got another guard from Waxahachie, who's a good player off the bench. But then they have a 6'6 guard that can drive it well. But a huge game for Texas basketball, because if they win this game, look, that's three years in a row they've won a tournament game. So that's a lot on the line tonight for Texas basketball. I mean, that would be 3 years in a row with at least one tournament win. And if you think about that, Virginia hadn't won a tournament game since they won the national championship. People just think it's easy and it's expected to happen, but it's not. Miami went to the Final Four. They're not in the tournament this year. Arkansas had a run of Elite Eight, Sweet 16. They're not in the tournament this year. So if Texas can win tonight, that's three straight years they've won a tournament game. That is very good for this program, and it would set up a, unless Tennessee really gets upset today, a matchup with Texas and Rick Barnes potentially Saturday. If both teams handle business today, and there's going to be a ton of upsets in this tournament, but if both teams handle business today, Texas versus Tennessee Saturday would probably be must-watch TV for Texas fans.
Absolutely. Not only that, but last night at the Dish, yesterday afternoon, actually, Texas completed a sweep of Air Force. The Falcons, you know what, Blake, I talked to someone that was at that game yesterday. We didn't get to go because we had so much going on with Pro Day and then all the live streams and stuff. The Longhorns fans seem to really like Air Force and have a mutual respect. I mean, I don't know if you grasp that from the folks that you talk to, Blake, or not, but it seems like it's a healthy relationship at the very least, even though the Longhorns now beat them 2-0, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. And even I think on the Texas baseball official Twitter, they kind of paid their respects after the series was over to Air Force. So, yeah, definitely a mutual respect there for sure.
And by the way, Blake, a lot of recruiting news, actually, in the last 24 hours, kind of flying under the radar because spring football and pro day take center stage, right? But Lamont Rogers, offensive tackle from Mesquite Horn, 4-star offensive tackle, he has locked in his official visit to Texas June 14th through 16th. That means there's 9 offensive linemen that have scheduled official visits to Texas in June already. And Nick Brooks out of Cedar Rapids, John F. Kennedy High School, I believe will be number 10. Because he's got a date tentative 21st through 23rd. The problem is he has Iowa the same weekend as well. Iowa's trying to get the last official visit. So I think Texas will probably bump back to June 14th through 16th. But that's going to be 10, Bobby, offensive linemen that have June official visit schedule. We see what happens with the 4-star Josh Petty, who's making an unofficial visit. He's out of Roswell, Georgia. He makes an unofficial visit Friday. That number could jump to 11. But what that tells you, a 5-man offensive line class is where this is headed, because Texas already has 10 guys essentially with official visits, and that number is going to go to 11, maybe 12. The other thing, a couple things I heard. Josiah Sharma, the 4-star defensive lineman out of Folsom, and I posted some notes on Texas football. Josiah Sharma, the 4-star defensive tackle out of Folsom High, who Johnny Nansen offered in late January. And I spoke with somebody up in the Folsom near that program a couple of days ago, and then again yesterday. And Sharma's expected to visit Texas here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and an official visit seems to be where this is headed. So one of the top D linemen in the country. Then another guy out of California, the linebacker Mateo Tungai. He's expected in Friday with the California Power 7-on-7 team. I'll say I'm going to put it out there because it's on video and people will hit me if it's wrong. I think Texas is the favorite headed into the spring over Washington, Utah, and USC. And that I think he is one of the best linebackers in the country, period.
Texas is really doing work in California. Like, yeah. I think that when Sark first constituted his staff, he didn't necessarily have as strong a tie to California as he does now.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, because Andre Coleman, Brennan Marion, they weren't really they're nothing about them spoke California.
Right. Exactly.
Right. But now you've added Chris Jackson, who's originally from Modern Day, went to Santa Ana Modern Day, yeah, a wide receivers coach. And now Johnny Nansen comes aboard too, who has spent his life, adult life,
yes,
as a professional recruiting the state of California.
How far back does Nansen go recruiting California and Texas, by the way? Johnny Nansen's the one that recruited Ronald Jones, the running back from McKinney North, that went out to USC and has been in the NFL a while. So Johnny Nansen, not only does he have all those Cali ties for years and years, but he also has Texas ties, I really think Sark may have hit it out of the park with this hire. The more I've dug into this, the recruiting background of Nansen, Bobby, I think Sark may have knocked this one out of the park. Tashard Choice style. Tashard Choice has really helped in Florida and getting Texas into Georgia. I think Nansen, to your point, Bobby, just solidified Texas and California.
If you want to talk recruiting, I mean, things are going really well.
Yes.
Right now. There's not a elite player in the state of Texas, I don't think, that isn't genuinely giving Texas consideration.
Yeah. Outside of that, the guys committed somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yep. Even DeCorey Moore is committed 100%,
100%.
Elsewhere. But my point being that Texas does not have many commitments. They're at five right now. Okay. But there should be no sign of panic or no sign of worry, because I'm telling you, when Steve Sarkisian first came on, I mean, really only about five of the top 10 players in the state even considered Texas, much less signed with Texas. You agree with that?
Correct. Yeah.
Now, all 10 are considering Texas, maybe at varying levels, right? But my point being, it's no longer – I mean, they've gotten to a point where now they can do this idea of what Mac used to be able to do, which is pick a little bit, choose who they want in-state, and see if they're better or not than the guys that are out-of-state. Like, I don't think Sark had a choice but to go to out-of-state in the last several classes. And the reason why is because not enough elite talent, and he wants elite talent in the state of Texas, was truly considering Texas because they hadn't had – I mean, look, Charlie Strong had three consecutive losing seasons.
Yeah.
Tom Herman alienated half of the Texas High School Coaches Association. So Sark had a major rebuild to do in building bridges with the high school coaches in the state of Texas, and then also the mentality of young players of where they want to go play. He's done that now. And so I think what I'm getting at is he's going to reap the rewards, not only in Texas, I think, but if he has a renewed interest in California and those guys out there with guys like Johnny Nansen, Chris Jackson, I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
And yesterday, guys, it was the pro day. It was a great day for the guys going into the draft. But that's a great day for Texas recruiting. I mean, that it's out there when Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl makes the tweet he made about, 96 NFL scouts. And then Texas starts littering social media with all their videos and photos. I put a lot of stuff on Texas football and on my Instagram, just photos of all the Texas players that were there watching the pro day. I mean, Ryan Wingo, Aaron Butler, Brandon Baker, some of those freshmen, a lot of that freshman class, Jordan Johnson-Rebell, I think I saw Phil Simi, a lot of that freshman class. There was over 50 players on the Texas team that were watching the pro day yesterday. A lot of them watching their former teammates, but a lot of those guys are the freshman class. That's one of the things that most excites them about coming to Texas now, is they feel like Texas is a place where they can live out their dream. And remember, NIL, yes, you want to win. Yes, NIL is a part of recruiting. But the number one thing for all these kids, these top recruited players, high school basketball, football, basketball, whatever, is where's the best chance I can go to make it to the NFL or NBA?
I did not see D'Amico Ryans there yesterday. I missed him. So you're showing – Blake put up this post about all the guys there. I did not see the head coach. Did you see D'Amico Ryans there yesterday?
I did not, but I was on the move a lot.
So was I. I saw the others, but that's awesome about that. Offensive coordinators of Cowboys, Dolphins, Colts, Texans as well. Look, I mean, it was a showcase yesterday, I believe. We need to talk a little bit more than just about Quinn.
Right.
As it relates to that. Before we want to do that, though, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. This edition of On Texas Football, Coffee and Football, brought to you by Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. Adam has 20 plus years experience helping injured Texans get compensated for wrongdoing of others. If you've been injured in an auto accident or a motorcycle, RV, what have you, and it may be somebody else's fault, make sure you call Adam or get with him online. He will give you a free consultation, 15, 30 minutes, whatever it takes to get you and let you know whether or not he thinks you might be due some compensation. Reach out to him at lowylawfirm.com. That's lowylawfirm.com.
And by the way, a lot of people may be joining us after we've got going. Yep, we're sitting with an angle DKR Stadium behind us. So if you're wondering, we did this for all you guys that can't be here in Austin today. So y'all can at least get a glimpse of the football stadium here as spring practice day number two begins here in about 45 minutes. We have some good questions, Blake, as well. I think it's supposed to be Reckless Trey at 821.
Yeah.
A great question.
He says, for the recruiting newbies, please explain why, as a college coach, it's important to have good relationships with high school coaches.
Yeah. So, okay, recruiting has changed since I first got into the business 2 decades ago, because with 7-on-7 and kids really traveling around the country, recruiting has changed. It's not as much high school coach, player, family driven as it once was. But in the states of Texas, in the states of Georgia, Ohio, probably Louisiana fits into that. But we're, you know, it's extremely important for a coaching staff to have a rapport. A college coaching staff to have a rapport with a high school staff. And, and that could be your area recruiter. It could be your head coach, whatever. But to be able to pick up the phone and talk to these guys and really, you know, I call it kind of digging in the ditches for just to kind of find the information, the connection. Who's the person to talk to on this recruitment? What are your real thoughts about him? How is he outside of when we see him on our campus? To have that feedback and have that relationship where you're getting real information, I think is an invaluable part of the recruiting process.
Look, it's a salesman's job at some level, right? And what does the salesman need as much as anything? Information. Information to shape and form his offer, right? And so a high school coach is also an adult that has gone through the process with multiple people before. It's not just this one player. And so if you develop a relationship with high school coaches, they can kind of steer you to the right people that will help make an informed decision for the kid. They can tell you if something is going on with the kid that you may not know about. I mean, here's an example. What if a young man is off the straight and narrow for a while, right? And then he comes back and his grades have dropped and you're kind of wondering what's going on here. Well, a high school coach can tell you something different maybe than a mom or dad might not be willing to divulge.
Yep.
You know, it's those kind of sorts of very nuanced discussions that you get into, because you've got to remember your Texas is not, here's one, Texas is not the only school recruiting these guys. And I mean, look, y'all know I love the University of Texas. It's where I went to school, et cetera. But there are other great schools out there that are going to be recruiting these guys too. And what I mean by that is you want that edge. That's why those relationships are ultimately important, a positive relationship. And so I'm a big believer in that, even though, to Jerry's point, I mean, you got to have positive relationships with other coaches too, not just high school football coaches, 7-on-7 coaches, yeah. Jerry, trainers. I mean, all of those guys.
When you go into a high school, bring up Hookem from Atascocita again real quick. I don't think this is a coincidence on the name. Okay, this may be somebody related to Ian Ratliff, the current number one punter at Texas. I happened to watch him at Atascocita in high school. I went to watch Cam Dewberry versus Kelvin Banks, okay? And I'm always a guy that gets to the stadium a couple hours early. I like to see who's out there, kind of how they attack a game, right? Ratliff was a Power 5 level punter that day. I watched him in warm-up. So if you're related, your kid kicked it really well Tuesday in the lot of media period when we're there. If that's you, if that happens to be your son by chance, he can punt it at the Power 5 level. But also, so I can say this, like sometimes when I go into high school, I try to attack the job like a college coach does. Bobby, when I go in, it's not just a head coach. It's the guys that it's not even his position coach. If a kid's a wide receiver, I like to talk to the DB coach, you know, his thoughts on a prospect. I like to talk to the trainer, not about injuries. They can't talk about that, about the kid, because the reality is the trainers see a highly ranked kid, Bobby, as much as the coaches do a lot of times. So if a kid plays basketball, talk to the basketball coach. So when these coaches go into these schools, they're talking to they may go talk to the guidance counselor. Tell me about player X. Tell me about him as a kid. Tell me about how he responds to you, how your interactions are with him. If you're doing your homework as a college staff, you're going to find all that information in a school. So you go to visit the school, you have to have the relationship with the coaching staff there, the head coach, but you want to talk to everybody. It's really on a smaller scale, no different than the NFL draft. They just hire a bunch of retired private investigators to go do their work on kids. But if you're thorough in the evaluation process, which I do think Texas is, you're going into these high schools to talk to multiple people about a kid.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
I think it's more information, better. There can be information overload at times.
Yep.
But ultimately, scholarships, you only get 85 of them.
Right.
You got to make them all work. It was interesting. I want to say this. Somebody had a question on the message board yesterday, like that I thought was really astute. It was, okay, Bobby, you told us who you liked from the freshman class and what you thought of the new faces in Austin. Who were the ones that you thought came up short? And I can honestly say this, okay? I don't know that I saw one that I said, I don't know that he belongs.
Yeah.
And I will honestly say this. There, in years past, I
no doubt
have absolutely thought that. But Jerry and I talked about it after that question was posed, and legitimately from a 1 to 23 or 1 to 17, I guess, is how many are here right now, true freshmen, there's not guys, oh, he obviously doesn't belong.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case. And all of that speaks to the fact that how well I think Steve Sarkisian did his background work on these guys and how much information he had prior. If you take a bunch of early commitments and don't wait, there's a lot of time that can pass between signing day or between the first commitment and when he actually ends up on campus. Texas doesn't do that. And I think because of that, they're getting a higher hit rate.
Yeah.
Because there's less margin for error in there. And so I think that's also a positive about what Steve Sarkisian's doing that maybe not many people really appreciate.
The last thing I got to say to Mr. Ratliff there is, hey, your son's quads have gotten a lot bigger since high school. I'm sure you've noticed. Torrey Becton's doing work with those special teams guys too, man. I noticed a difference Tuesday from what I saw in high school, just the way he looked in uniform, even though he wasn't wearing football pants. So Zane Petty asks, is Keelan Russell, quarterback from Duncanville, 2025, who's scheduled to be at the Texas spring game. Is he Texas good? Absolutely, he's Texas good. He was one of the most impressive guys to me in the state of Texas last spring when I went around the schools. I was there on a day. Look, and I've said this about Keelan Russell, and Texas is only going to take one, right? And K.J. Lacy's committee, he's got three visits. But if something weird happened with K.J. Lacy, Keelan Russell's a very, very talented quarterback. He is easily the best quarterback that Duncanville's had in my years doing this. But he can change ball speeds. He's got an understanding. He's got really good feet, really good athlete. You know, and the thing about Keelan that's really helped his development process as a high school quarterback is in practice. It's like you can only imagine last year when I was there, when they went team ones versus ones, Alex January's pushing the pocket, Colin Simmons is coming off the edge, and Duncanville, all those Division I talents, they're collapsing a pocket in practice. So Keelan Russell has to play with his eyes up. The second he drops his eyes is the second he stops being a good quarterback. So it's really helped his development. And then the other thing is, everybody he throws to is fast.
Yeah, that's true.
So the ball has to get out of your hand throwing vertically down the field to DeCorian Moore. If you're late, he's coming back to the ball, and he's just giving you this, man, come on. You know, you have to get the ball out of your hand with timing. You have to be able to lead fast receivers, and you have to be able to do it when there's really high-level players collapsing the pocket around you. Keelan Russell's got a chance to be really good.
You know what? You mentioned that about getting the ball out of your hand quick. That's one thing that Quinn Ewers did really well yesterday, throwing to a guy like Keelan Robinson,
yeah,
for example. And I try to explain this. Keelan Robinson accelerates faster than most people. I mean, just we can see it when we watch him run, right?
Yeah.
So you have to throw the ball quicker, right? And that was one of the impressive things. I thought he, as well as he threw the receivers yesterday, Quinn Ewers, he threw the running back really well too. Yeah. And a bunch of timing stuff. It's fairly impressive what they were able to do. But I completely agree with Jerry. Keelan Russell, guys like that actually have the experience of hands in your face, of adversity.
Yes.
So many of the Texas high school quarterbacks and California quarterbacks.
Shotgun spread, first read, no pressure on.
Yeah,
right?
I think of Jimmy Clausen about this all the time.
Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah, exactly. Those guys that maybe came out with all the hype and publicity, but didn't face adversity enough.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you really good or are you just throwing? That's the question. I'm one of those guys where you have to figure that out. And if you figure it out early, more reps, better. Better for you. That's why Brock Purdy is an NFL quarterback and some people aren't. I mean, Brock Purdy cannot make all the throws. I'm just going to tell you. But can he actually compete because of his, having basically run for his life at times at Iowa State? Yeah. And that's part of it. That's part of it. And that's one of the things Quinn has to get better at this year, by the way. I think that he is getting better, but something that he certainly didn't face a lot of adversity at South Lake Carroll, and he came into Texas and started facing some, and I thought he got better last year. He'll take another step this year. I'm convinced of it after seeing yesterday.
Yeah, and we're going to get to all your questions. We got stuff on guys at the pro day. Somebody asked about Colton Vosick, who was at the pro day yesterday watching. But before that, Blake, I'm going to tell everybody about Factor. Yep. Look, I said it the other day. I need more Factor meals in my life. My face on this live stream will tell you I need more Factor meals in my life. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, bring me that, Protein Plus, and Keto. I don't know about the keto, man.
Oh, that's good.
I know, but like Calorie Smart Protein Plus is right up my alley right now. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for nothing. Get started today and get after your goals. Two-minute meals, fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat wherever, whenever you are. Pancakes, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the everyday breakfast, midday bites, and more. No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. No cleanup needed really appeals to me, by the way. Flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. Head to factormeals.com/Texas50 and use code Texas50 to get 50% off. That's code Texas50 at factormeals.com/Texas50 to get 50% off.
All right, guys, before we move on to the questions, we need to remind everybody one last time that you only have, a couple of hours now to enter the On Texas Football Bracket Challenge. You can scan that QR code right there on your screen. It'll take you right to it. Or here in just a second, I will put the link in the chat. But you get $200 worth of apparel from 40 Acres Apparel. It's the 40 Acres collection that they are going to hook you guys up with for whoever comes in first place. So be sure to do that.
And then, by the way, I didn't fill out a bracket so somebody else could win. Or no, that's not true. I didn't fill out a bracket because I don't want to get mocked on here. I just haven't had time. But I can't wait to congratulate the winner. My only thing I would have done on the bracket is I would have UConn as the repeat champion, even though I have a lot of pressure, and I don't have Houston winning it. And I'm not a believer in Purdue, even though they got the easiest path.
There you go. All right, guys, we're going to take this question from Jason Washington. He says, with the amount of skeptical comments I read yesterday after JT's performance, it appears that there is some confidence lost in his ability to be a great next level tight end. What are y'all's thoughts?
My initial thought was I didn't think he was going to be a great next level tight end in the first place. I thought he was going to be a good next level tight end. I will say this. He has never been a twitchy athlete. He's actually been a guy that actually, in my opinion at least, uses his ability to actually catch the ball while not breaking stride. Like a lot of tight ends in the NFL gather when they catch, and they are not just continuing on. So if he runs a 4.7, JT does, he plays a 4.7. Some tight ends run a 4.7 and then play a 4.9. That's the difference. But I actually thought that he is a conundrum, and that's what I said yesterday. Doesn't test well. Has never tested well. Okay, that's not a different. That's not a change. Right. Then he got out there and did the passing drills. Didn't drop a thing. Didn't bobble a thing. Everything was clean. Made smooth. Crisp cuts. It's exactly what you expected, personally. I disagree with people that said he hurt himself yesterday. If you're looking strictly at testing numbers, and some teams will, so I agree with that.
Yeah.
He hurt himself. If you look at the actual workout itself, he's JT Sanders.
I think as a pass catcher, nothing's changed with him. I think 8 reps on the bench is an issue for him.
Yep,
because
of blocking.
You cannot block NFL players without strength. That's going to be it. If they start dinging him as this gets closer to the draft, it's going to have nothing to do with his ability as a pass catcher or route runner or anything like that. It's going to be, can this guy physically stand up to NFL players?
And has that lack of intensity in the weight room, how bad do you want it then? Is a fair question. JT Sanders, if you're only going to do 8 bench reps, how bad do you really want it? Because you didn't necessarily show early enough. I will say this. In high school, he got away with it because he was so big. Yeah. So I had such a great catch radius. He really played wide receiver.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. I want to say this. Talking about strength on the bench press. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Keelan Robinson putting up 20 reps on the bench press yesterday. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was impressive.
Oh, just like this.
No, that was impressive.
That was really, really impressive.
Yeah. The thing with JT, too, why the 8 reps was, to me, was a negative for him, he's not a long arm guy. If he had an 82, 83-inch wingspan, that's different. But he is not a long arm guy. So he's going to get dinged on that. Somebody just said Kyle Pitts did 22 reps. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kyle Pitts, 22 reps with long arms with over an 80-inch wingspan, too. So. But yeah, I thought Keelan Robinson from a strength perspective showed really well yesterday. Ryan Watts with the 11-foot broad jump. That was awesome coming off a good 40 time for him and a good vertical. So he probably continued to help himself a little bit.
He had a great workout.
Christian Jones in movements, I thought was tremendous yesterday.
I thought Watts, I want to say a little bit, he had a warrior-like workout yesterday. And I'm not talking about necessarily the 11-1 broad jump or any of that. I'm actually talking about what he was able to do, Blake and Jerry, in the individual workouts. Look, they put you through it. And unlike the pro combine where you do one thing and then you rest for 5 minutes and then do it again because there's 10 people in line, Ryan Watts was doing drill after drill after drill. And there were no other DBs there.
Yeah.
Like there were other defensive linemen. So Sweat and Murphy took turns, right? The wide receivers, Worthy and Whittington and Mitchell, took turns. There was no other DB there. Ryan Watts, by the end of that, he had been worked out and was exhausted, but was still going hard as hell.
Yeah.
He wants it bad. I'm like, I will tell you this. If I'm a scout watching that workout and there's a want to check on your checklist, you know what I mean? How bad does this guy want it? Ryan Watts gets a little check mark, big time.
By the way, we had a question about Colton Vosick. He was full go. By the way, the music's blaring, so you know the players are getting ready for spring practice number 2 here today. Reminder, the media window, they canceled that due to inclement weather in case they had to move into the bubble because the media never goes into the bubble or very rarely. We did yesterday for pro day. But somebody asked about Colton Vosick. He was full go. On Tuesday at spring practice, he was at the pro day. He looks great physically, guys. It's all about being healthy. I mean, Colton's a legit 6'5 and a half, 6'6, 255 pounds, and looks well proportioned, looks really good. His whole deal is, look, he was pushing for playing time last spring, a year ago this time. He was being talked about as a guy who could end up in the rotation next year, then the injury set in. It's all about health for him. You hope he gets healthy because I do think, for the guys, when they connect hands, when they make contact with their hands, he's one of the more powerful guys that Edge Texas has. It's all about getting healthy for him. We had a question about Zena on this as well. Does Zena have a chance this year? Look, Zena physically, even as good as he looks now, probably still needs a little more time with that frame. Does he have a chance? We can't say that yet. There's actually some depth at Edge this season coming up. But the rest of this spring, is going to probably tell us the story there.
Let's talk Quinn Ewers for a little bit. We talked about him earlier, but we got lots of questions. Artsmania says, Quinn appears to have turned a page in his development. Is the confidence factor that missing piece that he most needed?
So my opinion on that is, you know, with the 15 pounds of weight gain with him, what that strength does behind your shoulders, in your back, right? What all that strength does, some in your lower body, it just makes you a more confident guy. I mean, this is a guy that's had he's had two seasons where he got injured, right? And he knows he has to build his body up. He has to be a stronger body. So one, I think that gives you confidence. But two, I think yesterday is going to build his confidence in a big way, Bobby. How can you not walk away from that? I know it's against on air, but that was, other than Alabama, the Big 12 championship, his first college start maybe early in that game, and the college football playoff, that's the most pressure he's had as a college player yesterday. Because the one thing about Rod Babers and I talked about, one thing about the NFL combine and pro days, this is the time where you are, as a football player, you're closest to being a pro golfer, where there's no helmet on and it's on you. Quinn Ewers, he was a pro golfer yesterday in a sense. He had all the eyes on his every move. There's no helmet. There's no coaching staff around you. That's the most pressure you can feel as a quarterback, other than the very biggest game.
It was you in the field or you in the course.
Yep.
That's to your point.
Yep.
Your job was to deliver the chip from 100 yards.
Yep.
Right. And that's all he did all day long.
Yep.
I mean, he was knocking it close to the pin.
Let's just say this. If he hit 75 shots yesterday, he hit one bad shot if he was playing golf. In that pressure situation, great place to be for Quinn. I think that's going to build his confidence times 10. Now, does it mean he's going to go look like the number one pick in the draft next year? We can't say that. But what I can say is he's going to be more confident now than he was 2 days ago, and he was already a more confident player. You could tell with that added strength and just being a third-year guy in a system on Tuesday when we were there. But now he's going to be even more confident. It's a great place to be for Quinn upstairs.
Hey, Jerry, we got some basketball questions here that we need to get to as Bobby answers that phone call real quick. And let's start with this one from Mike D. It's a loaded question, so we're going to put you on the spot here.
Let's do it.
How far do you think the men and women's basketball team will go into the tournament? Who will be in the Final Four and the championship? And who is the national championship for the men and women's?
So I think men's, I think they should win tonight if Tyrese Hunter shows up, because I do think Ace missed DSU. I think DSU has a little advantage in this game. I think Texas is a better team than Colorado State, but they got to be better tonight, right? If you go out and shoot 3-for-20 from three or something, or have a bad night from the free throw line, you can lose the game, obviously, to 7-10 game. I think Texas will probably win one game in the tournament. I think Tennessee – Dalton Kinnick's a tough matchup on the wing for Texas. And I don't think Tennessee's unbeatable by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think Tennessee's a better team than Texas. I think just all around, they're a better basketball team than Texas. So I'd pick Tennessee over Texas in that game, just being real if they get there. Let's hope that game happens. The women, I think, is going to be fascinating because while they're a number one seed, and I think Vic Schaefer's done an amazing coaching job, the issue I see with the women's team is if you get into a Sweet 16 or Elite Eight game, and if the opponent can get mad, is that going to change you offensively? How much are you going to struggle offensively if you get into a scenario like that? There's a lot of pressure on a freshman in Madison Booker, and it's a different pressure in NCAA tournament time than it even was at the end of the season. And the other thing is, Texas is heavily favored and should get to the Sweet 16. They're hosting two games, right? But once you get into that Sweet 16 and it's not home, there's a lot of pressure on Madison Booker. If she goes out and delivers big-time performances in that setting, I mean, I've already said she's going to be a top three pick in the WNBA draft. That'd be something. But if I'm playing Texas women, I'm going at Madison Booker as much as possible early in the game. I'm trying to draw a cheap charging call, get a tic-tac foul. I'm trying to get her two fouls as quickly as possible and see how Texas reacts offensively in that scenario. I think that's what's going to be interesting to watch. If Madison Booker gets an early foul trouble in a tournament game, what does Texas do offensively? How much does that bog them down? I'm picking UConn to win the national championship in men's. In women's, I mean, I don't know. I should pick South Carolina, but I'm telling you, going in undefeated is, I'm not sure that's a great thing. I mean, you know, but South Carolina is the best team in women's basketball this year. They are the two favorites headed into this tournament.
And then we got another one here from Sark After Dark. Is winning one game in the NCAA tournament a successful sending for Rodney Terry?
I actually think it is. You know, look, that would mean Texas has won a tournament game 3 years in a row. And if you get into the tournament and you win a game, and you if you can win this game tonight and then you play Tennessee tough, I mean, what more can you ask for in year one? I mean, it hasn't been a perfect year. You know, Caden Shedderk had double shoulder surgery. Dylan D'Souza's foot injury took a long time to heal, 8 months off the court, right? So mixing in all those new bodies, not really having your team for summer workouts. I mean, you know, there was a time I was in the gym watching a little summer workout this year. There were no bigs. I mean, Zurich Onyemna was there. There was nobody else. It's hard to have a summer workout when you don't have a third, you know, your bigs on the court, right? So they've had to adapt to a lot this year. But what it does, it sets up year two for Rodney. If they can win a game tonight, year two is where I think a lot of people are going to ultimately judge Texas basketball under Rodney Terry. I mean, you got two future first-round picks at guard coming in, and Trey Johnson and Cam Scott, 6'5", 6'6", guys. I'm telling you, they're going to be first-round picks unless they if they can stay away from major injury. So it's going to be a different team, a bigger team next year. But that's, I think, where Texas fans will ultimately judge Rodney. This year, if he wins a tournament game and he gets to that second round, you know, look, it's hard to say it wasn't a good season. Was it the season you ideally wanted? You want to get to the Sweet 16, but just go look at how many teams get to the Sweet 16 year in and year out. Texas, as a basketball program, has never been the two Elite Eights in a row, ever in the history of the program. I think there's a misconception out there that, well, Texas basketball should just be a second weekend team. Just go look at the history and see how many times you've made it. But with that said, big game tonight for Rodney. They need to win it.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, Bobby, welcome back. I need you to tell folks out there about Autograph.
Okay, we'll do it, Blake. I appreciate it. Sorry, but I had to go out and do that real quick. Big news for Longhorn fans. We're excited to announce that we're starting to work with Autograph, co-founded by the GOAT, Tom Brady himself. That's pretty cool,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Autograph is where real Texas fans get unreal rewards. It's the first app to actually track and reward fans for loving what they love most, turning your passion into access and experiences. Founded on the belief that devotion should be rewarded and the future of fandom belongs to the fans, they've been sending true fans to the biggest games in college basketball the last few weeks for $16. Yes, just $16 as we gear up for football season. This means you can score discounted tickets to marquee matchups. Scan to download the app today. It's free for the Autograph app is free. Use that QR code on the screen. It's in the Apple Store. And use referral code on Texas. That's referral code on Texas. See where fandom takes you. Thank you, Autograph, for your sponsorship of On Texas Football.
All right, guys. Let's take a few more questions here. And, you know, we've talked about this year's draft, but BB wants to talk about next year's draft.
Love it.
First round picks do y'all see in 2025?
They were all watching UT Pro Day yesterday.
They really were.
First-round picks, I mean, Quinn with a really good season is going to be a first-round pick. Kelvin Banks should be a first-round pick. I'm not sure Kelvin's going to be a top-five-level pick, Bobby. I don't know about that, but I think he's going to be a first-round pick. I think Isaiah Bond's a guy with a big season that's going to have a chance because he can flat-out run. You know, but when you get in the first-rounders, I don't know how deep you go first-round next year. I think draft picks as a whole, you can get to 8, 9, or 10 pretty quickly.
I would say that the thing that struck me about Kelvin Banks on Tuesday, he's re-managing his physique. I mean, he's reconfiguring it. He came in as a freshman. He's a freshman. Yes, he looked good for a freshman. Last year, he improved it a little bit. This year, he's cut a little bit even more.
Yeah.
It's that, you know, Texas, we talk about development. They've done a nice job. Period. End of story, in my opinion. Then you talk about guys like Quinn Ewers, and obviously he's going to be a guy. I'm telling you that his workout yesterday was impressive. If it's that impressive this time next year, he's going to go in the first round.
Yeah.
Will he be 1-1 will be the question, right? Yeah. Not necessarily will he be a first round guy. So there's that. Then you look at receivers. I obviously think that Isaiah Bond is going to be gone after 1 year. Amari Nyblack may be as well, the tight end. You think about that. Then you look at a guy like DJ Campbell. DJ Campbell wants to play in the NFL, you know, and I know that he hasn't been a great offensive lineman yet at Texas. He's been good, but he hasn't been great. But he has those kind of thought processes. Yeah. I don't think it'll be first round.
No.
Alfred Collins will be in there. Baron Sorrell will be that discussion. Trey Moore will be in that discussion. Andrew McCuba, Jahdae Barron.
Brooks could go early.
What is that? Did I just name 10 guys?
I have a feeling it's going to be around the same number next year. With guys going, you know, into the NFL draft. By the way, somebody said, Ski Break asked if we just got honked at. Yes, my stomach was over a parking spot, so I had to move my stomach so somebody could get in their parking spot. Somebody asked about U of H, why don't have Houston cutting down the nets? My issue with Houston is, and I think Kelvin Sampson's a Hall of Fame coach. I think he's a great coach. The style of play I don't jive with for winning a title unless he gets a perfect kind of draw. Tony Bennett got it done. He had three tremendous NBA guards on that team. But when you play such a low possession style of basketball, you sometimes you come into that game like Baylor absolutely smoked them in the Final Four of the year Baylor won the title. When you have to go, somebody's going to score on your very good defense. Can you go score 80 in that game when somebody scores 78 against you? That's always been the issue in Kelvin Sampson's style of play. He's going to have to score 80 in one of these games to get over that hump.
His margin for error is too tight.
It's tight.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily something that you can overcome in a long tournament.
Yeah.
Right? And so with varying opponents, it is something that works, by the way, when you play a seven-game series as opposed to a tournament. That's the difference, the NCAA and the pros. The pros, seven-game series, you figure out who's what. You know, you kind of go back and forth. The NCAA tournament's different. It's a new test every single week or every single game. And, you know, some teams fit, some teams don't.
By the way, let's talk about the Texas players we saw at Pro Day yesterday, Bobby. Brandon Baker looked really good physically. He looked really good physically. You know, we got to see those guys in just regular clothes, not pads yesterday. Obviously, they're supporting their teammates in the program. I thought Kelvin Banks looked really good. You could tell DJ Campbell had slimmed down about 10, 12 pounds from last time you saw him. Ryan Wingo looked good. Aaron Butler looks so sleek.
You know,
when you see him, sleek's the way he kind of looks like a Florida high school receiver to me that gets to college. And you're okay. He's just got that sleek, wiry, strong build that those guys I've covered for a long time. But man, those calves are high. He looks fast twitch now walking around. I'll say that.
The other one, you mentioned Vasek. He looked good yesterday. Anthony Hill looked good. There's just been a number. I mean, look, Texas is going to look good getting off the bus. Yeah. I wouldn't have said that 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, they look good getting off the bus. There 2 years ago, they played UTSA. They didn't look appreciably better than UTSA.
Yeah.
They had a couple of players that were better, Roshan and Bijan, but Texas didn't look appreciably better than UTSA. When they play UTSA this year, just 2 years later, they will look appreciably better than UTSA.
Somebody asked this. Quim was the only underclassman that worked out yesterday.
Yes, absolutely.
We got a super chat, guys, from Antonio Harris. Is Coach Flood – thank you, Antonio. Is Coach Flood making a path of starting 1 year and heading to the league? Example, Williams this year, Neto and Gus and Goosby possibly next year.
Ideally, you don't want that for their development. You know, while DJ Campbell would love to have a great year this year and have the ability to go pro, that may not be the best thing for his overall development. I mean, you got to think Kelvin Banks is going to be a three-year starter. And I think Kyle Flood's going to be able to point to that and point the guys in the past that he had that started 3 years. A few guys maybe started two. Maybe it was a JUCO guy at Alabama. Maybe it was a guy that had some injuries in there that only started 2 years. But ideally, you want these guys to play 20, 30 games. Right, Bobby, and have 30 games under their belt. Now, I'll say this. If DJ Campbell has a great year next year and is able to go pro, then Texas has had a hell of a year on the field. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. Offensive line's a little different.
Yeah.
So, whereas at quarterback, I do think you want those long numbers. I, I think that offensive line, especially if you're like Alabama right now, you don't have to start 30 games at Alabama.
Right.
You don't have to start 30 games at Georgia. Not even on the defensive line, you don't have to start 30 games at Georgia. So I think a lot of it comes out in practice.
Yeah.
And so if Texas has a strong defensive front and a strong offensive front, they'll get that work in practice. So I don't know that I necessarily agree with you on that. I hear what you're saying, but Cam Williams could be ready.
Yeah.
Now, he won't necessarily go as high as he could if he waited a year. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Same with DJ Campbell.
That's kind of the thing.
Yeah. Right? I mean, they're not going to maximize their draft stock,
right,
but they could be ready.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing. And frankly, you start having, what if they had three 3-year players at Texas on the offensive line go in the NFL draft after a decade and a half of not really having anything.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Talk about turning it on its ear pretty quickly. Kyle Flood, Steve Sarkisian would have turned it on its ear pretty quick.
Yes, Zane Petty, I do love Florida high school players, especially in my business, because it's the setup is so far from Texas or Georgia that these kids are so raw coming out. They're just balls of clay, man. I mean, it's just like it's a great state to recruit if you really love development and watching guys develop, because it's just there's maybe three full-time high school coaches at these public schools. Guys just show up. So a lot of times the players, like last year I was at Orlando Jones watching the DeAndre Robinson's practice, the players were on the field before the coaching staff, because more than half the coaching staff came from other jobs to coach football. So it's just a development in that state, and it's why I think it's a great state for this staff to recruit with the move to the SEC. This is a really good player development program. You can take some guys out of the state of Florida, and they're going to go rocket ships physically.
Hey, Blake, bring up the Ski Breck comment at 8:58. I have something to say here. Caden Proctor, he basically has decided to leave Iowa and go back to Alabama, apparently. That's the big offensive lineman that started at Alabama against Texas as a true freshman this year in Bryant-Denny Stadium down in Tuscaloosa. How can he transition back to the Alabama locker room, especially after the year he had last year on the field? Here's the reality of it. This is my wife and my daughter. My daughter's a little bit a little bit bigger nowadays. She's 20, not 10, like she's in that picture. But my point to you on that Caden Proctor deal, I'm going to tell y'all something that I heard yesterday. Don't be surprised if Caleb Downs also relooks at his decision to go to Ohio State after Proctor going back up to Iowa, then back down. That there could be a number of guys that are like that for Alabama, because I think Alabama's trying to get their ducks in a row on NIL, and they didn't have it in a row when Nick was there. And Nick tried to use the, but we're Alabama and I'm going to get you ready for the pros. So be aware of that. I don't think that it affects either of the kids that went, or any of the three that came to Texas, but Iowa doesn't have this vigorous NIL program, and Ohio State thinks they do, but they kind of are a little bit behind some other guys. They try to lean on that whole, we'll get you ready for the NFL thing too.
So like Connor Stallions changed the game with headsets.
Yep.
If Caden Proctor ends up back at Bama as expected, right? And even if a Caleb Downs says that's going to change the two-time transfer rule, that's going to be the thing right there that's going to change it and make it one-time transfer. After that, you have to sit out. There's no way that scenario plays out and it doesn't create change moving forward.
Yep.
No chance.
Absolutely.
Hey, Bobby, we got time for one more question. I know we got kind of a condensed show this morning, but before we do that, can you tell folks out there about Adam Lowy one last time?
Yeah, absolutely. Adam's a good friend of the program, has helped us immensely throughout the last year and a half of us doing this. He is the law firm that you want to call, the lawyer you want to call if you've been involved in an auto accident, motorcycle, what have you. Give him a call. He'll let you know whether or not he'll consult you and give you a free consultation about whether or not he thinks you're due compensation. No strings attached. Give him a shout. Reach out to him at lowylawfirm.com. He's got more than 20 years experience here in the Austin area.
All right, guys. This will be the last question for today. And it's from Corey J. who's a guy in the 24 class that you expect to exceed expectations?
I got one.
Go ahead, Bobby. I'll
Aaron Butler.
That was mine.
Aaron Butler, late signee, didn't even visit Texas before committing.
Yeah.
I'll go with Aaron Butler based off of what I've seen. I think that there's a possibility that it's Alex January, although his expectations have been amped up because of the situation at the position. So I don't really count him. Another one, maybe Zena.
Okay.
Maybe Zena.
Jordan Washington.
Oh, yeah.
It tied in for me.
Yeah.
Just one simple thing I saw yesterday or in Tuesday in practice. How low, because of his ankle flexion, knee bend, hip flexibility, he could get firing off the ball in a blocking drill. And he, because he'd been well coached by Todd Thompson at Langham Creek, he had his head up on contact right out of the gate. Literally, he had a couple of reps, and Jeff Banks didn't have anything to coach him on. So he's cut, and when his body develops with those long arms and that ability to play down the seam, he's got a chance to be a real keeper.
So I've been doing this 30 years. And I've seen guys come and go. And what I would tell you is that Jordan Washington is just about the perfect starter kit.
Yes.
At tight end. He's lanky, but he's not thin. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so he's got wide enough hip. He's going to gain the right weight. He's quick. He's quicker than he is fast, which is important. And of course he's got ball skills.
Yeah.
I will tell you, in 2 years, if he works hard, he's a guy.
Yeah.
Now, and I'm not saying he's a guy this year, but he's an NFL capability guy for sure at tight end, in my opinion. He's got to get there. It takes time. These guys, look, they're 18 years old. They're not ready for the NFL yet.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they may not. Some of them aren't ready for college football, much less the NFL. 2 years of hard work, 2.5 years of hard work, the world is going to be his oyster a little bit.
Okay. The interesting thing to me was, in one of those drills, Nye Black was head down when he made contact, and Banks immediately corrected him. That's what the thing that struck me about Jordan Washington is he was, you know, he didn't make freshman mistakes in those blocking drills, too. I was like, okay, this guy, he has an understanding. He's been well coached, right? So he's got it. Those guys have a real chance. I mean, because, you know, the craziest thing about whether you're a tight end blocking or a D lineman on contact, the one thing that's you have to normally have to coach out of those guys is they drop their head on contact, blocking it tight end or D lineman sometimes will block, drop their head on a bull rush, and they lose their vision, right? And it has to be coached out of those guys. Jordan Washington, he's pretty much showing he doesn't have that, right?
I want to add this. I mean, we've been around campus now for a couple of days just hanging around, and we've talked to a lot of students actually.
Yeah.
Come up and said hi. It's no different for students than it is for these players. I mean, you come into as a freshman at the University of Texas, you don't know jack about accounting. I mean, no, you don't know, if you're into communications, you don't know anything about running a radio station yet. You know, bits and pieces. It's the same thing for these students. You're going to be a different person 2 years from now, 3 years from now than you are today. It's only natural. And what we see in college football, one of the things I like about it, is you see from the beginning to the end. And that's what's special. One of the things for me is special about college sports. I saw JT Sanders 2 years ago, for example, or 3 years ago. Y'all remember he came in and he was not impressive looking at all. And he turned himself around. Now people are saying, oh, well, he only did 8 reps. Man, I mean, he probably did 1 rep when he came on campus. And so I'm a guy that I feel pretty strongly about the development process that these guys go through. I've done it. I'm 54 years old today. And I guarantee you, when I entered the University of Texas at 18, I was a hell of a lot different when I graduated at 22. So I would keep that in mind, and not just for the football players. I'm just talking about across life.
Yeah.
And give these guys some time. I mean, we got to be patient, right? Give them time. They've got to go through the steps. It's not just add water, instant player. That's what that means.
Hey guys, I just posted a note on texasfootball.com before we get out of here. 2027 quarterback Brady Edmonds out of Huntington Beach, California, is on campus right now. He just confirmed with me, sent me a message.
Interesting.
So he'll be there today.
He's one of the guys that works, I believe he works with Danny Hernandez, who works with Troy Hune. And worked with Malik Murphy. So that SoCal connection there.
They're going to hit Southern California now. I'm telling you, it's going to be different with Nansen and Chris Jackson and Jeff Banks and Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
That will be, they put some voice towards it. I think more years one and two and three at Sark. I think now they've got the personnel to go attack it.
And I'll say this too, with recruiting in SoCal, there's two things I'm looking at right now. One, a lot of those kids aren't really jacked up about going to play in the Big Ten, okay?
And they're not enamored with Lincoln Riley.
Two, huge year coming up for Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
D'Anton Lynn is new DC. I think it was a really good hire. They're going to have to show returns on the field in year one. There's not – I mean, because those kids right now, they're kind of leaning. They're leaning more out of state than they are with you. So a lot of those kids – Texas is feeling that when they're recruiting those kids. And they really need to have a good season on the field, plus that defensive improvement, because the Big Ten's not getting those SoCal kids jazzed up. I'm just telling you from talking to them. Now, that doesn't mean they won't go to USC. USC's a great program, of the best in history. But it's a big year for USC to prove it on the field.
I also will say this. Texas is getting, with being in the college football playoff and having a national brand, and the Longhorn silhouette you're wearing on your shirt right now, Blake, for example, is a big thing. Did you see that Invesco commercial?
Yeah.
That has the Longhorn that's been all over college.
In NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's, you know, the Longhorn logo carries a little weight outside of just the state of Texas. I'll say that right now.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football, presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. I want to thank them for sponsoring today's show, along with Factor and Autograph. I thank you all for tuning in for the Super Chats. Be sure to head on over to ontexasfootball.com for more coverage. And then be sure to like and subscribe if you haven't already. Ring the bell so you're notified anytime and every time that we go live or post the video. And don't forget the bracket challenge. You only got, what, Jerry, like the game started at 11, don't they, this morning?
Yeah,
11:30.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so you only got like an hour probably, maybe hour and a half to get those in to try to win that prize courtesy of 40 Acres Apparel. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, one thing real quick, Blake, I want to say winning drive at 4.
Winning 4:30 drive
today.
Yes, right.
Bob, Tiffany, CJ, and Rod Hellman taking the helm. That's going to be fun. CJ and I got to have a little wrap-up we want to talk about today at around noon as well. So big day on Texas football, big day on the 40 Acres and in Charlotte this afternoon.
All right, guys. So we'll see you in the morning. They'll be back later, and then more content on the way.
Hook up.